Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss a few Super Bowls that were played, along with a team from New England playing in a bunch of those, and a couple of great quarterbacks celebrate birthdays, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories. All this and more coming up for you in just one moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have some great information that we're going to be sharing with you today about the history of the game of football for February 3rd. And on this date, in 1876, Albert Spaulding and J. Walker Spaulding invested $800 that their mother had given them to start a sporting goods company called A.G. Spaulding and Brother. According to a story that CoxBlue.com, the Chicago-based sports store the brothers owned offered high-quality goods that other manufacturers failed to match. Albert had been playing professional baseball earlier in his adulthood, playing for the Rockford Pioneers, and he was also known to have pitched for the Boston Red Stockings. And then he moved on to coach the pitchers on the Chicago White Stockings. Alfred's equipment was what set him apart from the rest of the league. The company's website notes that Spaulding was the first player to wear a baseball glove and was widely considered one of the few who wasn't booed by the crowds because of his gear. The company started by manufacturing the first official baseball of the major leagues, and then he moved on to make the official tennis ball, official basketball, official golf ball, and the official football, and made the Spaulding name what it is and what it's known to be today. You know, just a great athletic equipment, especially the balls and gloves that are used. So, you know, A.G. Spaulding, all the way back 1876, that's an amazing story. That's 150-some years ago that these two brothers invested $800 to make this manufacturing company that we still know today. Pretty cool. February 3rd, 1991, the National Football League Pro Bowl for the 1990 season was played at Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. The game was an entertaining, close match as the AFC edged out the NFC 23-21. That's a close one. Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly was the game's most valuable player. And what a player he truly was. February 3rd, 2002, Louisiana Superdome, New Orleans. Super Bowl 36 was a great game. The St. Louis Rams were the greatest show on turf, with Kurt Warner slinging the ball to weapons such as Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk, Ricky Prell, and Isaac Bruce. The Rams were heavy betting favorites against the Patriots, who came in with a no-name second-year quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. Ever hear of that guy before? He stepped in for an injured Drew Bledsoe earlier in the season. You know, that's a remarkable thing that we forget about Tom Brady. You know, he just recently retired a couple days ago. But just the fact that he was, you know, he was a no-name out of Michigan and seventh-round pick and came in to take over for the great Drew Bledsoe. Everybody figured the Patriots season was done when Bledsoe was so badly injured. And he comes on to be a legend of the game. Well, he really became a legend in this game because the Rams, as predicted, jumped out to an early 3-0 lead and were moving the ball again until New England's Ty Law picked off a pass and took it 47 yards back to the touchdown for 6 points. The next drive again, the Rams were moving the ball, but Prail fumbled after a big catch, and the Pats were back in business again. St. Louis, according to the Patriots.com article, outgained New England 427 yards to 267, but being plus three in a turnover margin helped the Patriots stay in the game. It came right down to the end when Adam Vinatieri knocked through a 48-yard field goal with no time left on the clock to put New England over the St. Louis Rams 20-17 in a thriller. It was a young Tom Brady who was selected as the game's most valuable player. Now, that is the first of five such honors he would be of having the Super Bowl MVP for Tom Brady. Quite an illustrious 22-year career, and it sort of all started right back then in that Super Bowl. February 3rd, 2008, the University of Phoenix Stadium, Glendale, Arizona, Super Bowl 52. The New England Patriots were much more established now as a perennial power in the NFL. The Patriots came into the Super Bowl with an unstained 16-0 record, and they faced a 10-6 team in the New York Giants, per the ESPN.com article. Now, the Dolphins, 72 Dolphins record was on the brink of being tied, because if you remember, Dolphins went undefeated in the season, won all their playoff games, won the Super Bowl, and are the only undefeated team that won the championship in the modern Super Bowl era of professional football. Of course, the Cleveland Browns did it when they were members of the AAFC, and I believe there was early NFL champion before they had a real big title game that went undefeated, but not as many games as were played in the more modern eras. Now, certainly no one could expect the New York Giants to win this game. You know, there was a reason that they play the game, though, and there are pro players on both teams. The Giants put on crazy pressure against Tom Brady all day and sacked him five times, while the Giants' offense had some remarkable plays themselves to keep the game close. It all came down to the end, as most great games do, and the Patriots took a 14-10 lead with 2:42 remaining when Randy Moss hauled in a 6-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady for a score. Now, Eli Manning then drove his team down the field after getting the ball at their own 17-yard line with 2:39 left, and he marched 83 yards down the field. In the game's most memorable play, on the third and long, Manning played Houdini and escaped an aggressive Patriots pass rush to launch a strike to wide receiver David Tyree, who leaps up in the air, catches the ball with one hand pinned to his helmet, falls to the ground, and secured it to the helmet, never moved. It was the helmet catch, a thing of beauty, that leaping one-handed catch, just, you know, pinning that ball to the crown of his helmet. Amazing, amazing play, and that'll forever be memorialized in the history. A few plays later, facing 3rd and 11, Eli again found a wide receiver, Plaxico Burress, for the winning touchdown on a 13-yard touchdown reception with 35 seconds remaining. The New York Football Giants defeated the New England Patriots 17-14. And that game's most valuable player, well, it wasn't Tom Brady this year, it was Eli Manning that denied the Patriots, and along with his other Giants teammates, that great defense that they played, denied the Patriots an undefeated championship season. One loss, and it happened to be in a Super Bowl. February 3rd, 2013, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, New Orleans. It was Super Bowl 47, and it was memorable for a couple reasons before the game even started. First, it matched the first of the NFL's two opposing head coaches that were brothers. Yes, John Harbaugh led his Baltimore Ravens against brother Jim Harbaugh's San Francisco 49ers. The second was that the power went out of the stadium, causing a delay in play. The game was a good one, too, as Baltimore stormed out to a 21-6 halftime lead, only to see the Niners rally back in the third quarter. The 49ers cut the lead to 2 with just under 10 minutes remaining as a 2-point conversion attempt failed to tie. The Baltimore Ravens held on and defeated the San Francisco 49ers 34-31. Most valuable player of the game was quarterback Joe Flacco of Baltimore, who, according to the Pro Football Reference, threw for 287 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. February 3rd, 2019, yet another Super Bowl. This one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. It was Super Bowl 53, and the LA Rams went and met up against the New England Patriots to see who the top team for the 2018 season would be. The defenses were prevalent as both offenses were met with stone walls in what would be a low-scoring Super Bowl to date. Lowest-scoring Super Bowl to date. Now, the Patriots' Sony Michel would score on the game's lone touchdown on a two-yard plunge in the fourth quarter as the New England Patriots defeated the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. The Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman caught 10 balls for 141 yards to earn the most valuable player honors and give New England its sixth Super Bowl victory. And that's that was Tom Brady's sixth Super Bowl victory too. Now, we have some great Hall of Fame birthdays to celebrate for February 3rd. First one, it took place in 1940, Richmond, Virginia. Fran Tarkington, the mobile quarterback from the University of Georgia, was born. Per his National Football Foundation web bio, he was a leader of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and an academic All-American. He is best remembered at Georgia for the 1959 game with Auburn. They were trailing 13-7, the Bulldogs were, and as time was running out, Georgia had the ball, fourth down and 13 on their own 13-yard line. Tarkington threw a touchdown pass. Georgia won the game and clinched the conference title. The National Football Foundation selected Fran Tarkington for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1987. Tarkington was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings in 1961, and in his first game, he tossed four touchdown passes and used his legs for a fifth. Can you imagine that? A rookie coming in their first game, having four scores through the air and one on the ground. Amazing. In 1967, Fran left the Vikings and spent five seasons with the New York Giants until a surprising trade in 1972 led him back to Minnesota. That's pretty ironic. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Fran rewarded the Vikings for trading him in his final 7 years with the Vikings as he led Minnesota to his six NFC Central Division titles and three Super Bowl appearances. He is also named first or second team All-Pro in all NFL three times. In 18 seasons in the NFL, Fran played in nine Pro Bowls. He threw for 47,003 yards passing and 342 touchdowns, while he ran for another 3,674 yards in his career. In 1986, ceremonies at the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Fran Tarkington into their Canton Museum. Now, February 3, 1945, in Evansville, Indiana, Purdue University's famed quarterback Bob Greasy was born. And according to footballfoundation.org, Bob started as a sophomore for the Boilermakers, and in the second game of that 1965 season, he led Purdue to an upset of the top-ranked Notre Dame by the score of 25-21. In the win over the Irish, Greasy completed 19 of 22 passes, including 13 straight completions at one point. He was a consensus All-American selection in both 1965 and 66, and the National Football Foundation selected Bob Greasy for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1984. Now, Bob was the top pick of the Miami Dolphins in the 1967 AFL Draft, and he played 12 seasons in the AFL and NFL combined and earned the NFL Player of the Year Award in 1971, helped his team go undefeated in 1972, as we mentioned earlier, and they won Super Bowl VII, then repeated as the champs again in Super Bowl VIII. Bob played in two AFL All-Star games and six NFL Pro Bowls. In 1990, Bob Greasy received the gold jacket as he was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame that year. Now, those are two of the greatest quarterbacks of the late 60s, early 70s, right there, Greasy and Tarkington, celebrating the same birthday. February 3rd, 1956, we have another birthday. Dallas, Texas, Arizona State University's brilliant wide receiver, John J.J. Jefferson, was born. Though playing out west, away from the spotlight of the Eastern teams, J.J. earned a selection as a 1977 consensus All-American. The National Football Foundation says that Jefferson garnered the eye of the national media when ASU was trailing late in the first half of the Arizona game. Jefferson stretched his body out flat, diving toward a pass and completely horizontal, with arms stretched out, reeled it in for a touchdown. It went down in the annals of Sun Devil lore, simply known as the catch. The touchdown helped rally ASU as they preserved an undefeated season and went on to victory over Nebraska in the Fiesta Bowl and a number 2 national ranking as the nation's only undefeated team that season. The National Football Foundation selected John Jefferson for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2002. The San Diego Chargers selected Jefferson as the fourth player taken overall in the NFL draft. And in 8 seasons he played in the league, he was elected to 4 Pro Bowls. Now that is just some tremendous Hall of Fame birthdays we have there. Some great history of Super Bowls, of all things, and the creation and foundation of the Spalding Company with the brothers Spalding founding that great sporting company. So February 3rd, you wouldn't think there's much football history, but we told you there's football history every day of the year, and there is sports jersey history every day of the year too. We're going to talk more about that if you flip over after this and go to your favorite podcast provider and check out the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast. Yours truly hosts that as well. We'll go through some great sports history and have that sports jersey take of the day. And I think you're really going to enjoy today's selection with our special guest that comes in to talk about their favorite sports jersey or uniform or players. And I think it's just something special. Also, check out OrvilleMulligan.com for the latest episode of Orville Mulligan Sports Writer, a great audio drama that myself and Oz Davis have come together to form the Number 80 Productions team on, and we have some excellent actors and some great support staff that helps that out, and just a really fun, historic sports history audio drama, very factually based with our fictional characters in it, and I think you will greatly enjoy that too. Remember, check out our websites, pigskindispatch.com for the football, thejerseydispatch.com for the sports jersey history, and I think you'll enjoy both those, and you can find everything, as always, on the sportshistorynetwork.com, and along with other great podcasts. There's about 24 of us on there, have some very good podcasts on sports history that I think you will find something fun for the whole family to listen to, and you'll learn a lot, because there's some really talented hosts on that with some very honorable and famous guests. And I think you'll have a great time listening and hours of enjoyment, and you'll never run out of things to listen to. SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.